we came this far without experiencing a speck of trouble with the savages. Now, we may well be fighting for our lives at the next blink of an eye.
And we sure will be doing that in about 2-3 more minutes. And these Utes are tough, you can believe it. Now let me tell you the real bad news. You've led these people into what might be a death trap.
Weller opened his mouth to speak. The preacher's sharp glance made the words die in his mouth.
Now you listen to me, Weller. It's about time you listen to somebody. You and your damn town in the Promised Land, that's crap, Weller. Pure D crap. We're in trouble, man. We're cut off, we're alone, and there ain't no help coming our way. None. Do you understand all that? Injuns are the most patient people on the face of the earth, especially Utes. I know. A band of Utes kept me and 4 other men pinned down tight for days when we was furring south of here. We had ample shot and powder and just warmed down, but we was in the mountains, Weller, in good cover, not stuck out here on the flats like we are now. We're gonna lose some men, Weller. Women and some kids, too, probably.
Weller stood silent for a moment. His gaze shifted from preacher to the unknown that lay waiting in the darkness outside the ringed wagons.
I was told that the trail west would soon move to the north, to the area we hoped to settle. I was assured of that move.
Why should the trail move north? It's been used for years right where it's at. Further on, it's the only logical way through the Rockies.
Mr. Sutherland...
I knew it. I knowed it had to be him. I was right. Look, I'll tell you about it later, if we live through the night, that is. Now go on back to your post, Weller. They're about to rush us. Move, man, move!
Weller vanished into the canvas-ringed circle of night, moving swiftly back to his post. Preacher turned all his attentions to the vast expanse of dark that lay before him. The Utes would be very close now. They'd had several hours of darkness to creep close, sometimes moving no more than an inch or two at a time. Preacher was just glad they weren't Apaches. They were the best at making the most out of every scrap of cover, or no damn cover at all. Preacher had briefly spoken with most of the men in the wagon train. Hardly any of them had experience when it came to fighting, for most of them came from the cities and towns back east. There were a few who came from rural areas and knew something about fighting, but only a couple had had actual combat experience, having fought back with Jackson in the War of 1812. But fighting Injuns was a tad different from fighting the British, who for the most part just stood all in a line and let you cut them down. And the U.S. Army wasn't much better. Dumbest damn way of fighting Preacher'd ever seen. Injuns was a whole lot smarter when it came to fighting. And Preacher and the other mountain men had quickly adapted to their ways of stealth and ambush. Preacher saw a bush that hadn't been in that spot a couple of minutes back. He lifted his rifle to his shoulder and sighted in. The bush moved a few more inches. There was no breeze at all, and the gun smoke was thick and smarting to the eyes. Preacher's immediate area was momentarily clear of living things, and he took that time to recharge his weapon, looking up and around him every 2 or 3 seconds. The men of the wagon train had broken the first charge. The Utes seemed to just drop off the face of the earth. But Preacher knew better. He knew they were out there, and very close.
Sing out!
One mover over here took an arrow in the chest. He's dead.
We got one over here wounded too. He'll be all right though.
Everybody's all right over here?
Left side, right side. Anybody hurt along here?
No. Just scared.
Now stay that way, it'll help keep you alive.
What's next?
Probably fire arrows if they stay true to form.
Everybody got a hatchet or axe close by like I told you? We might hand to hand before this is all over. And brothers, them Utes is good at that. Don't play around with them, just whack off anything in reach. Arm, hand, head, anything at all.
I don't know that I can do that.
You want to have your hair jerked off and live long enough to see your wife and daughters raped?
No.
Then you'll do it.
Yonder comes the fire arrows. Grab the buckets and stand ready.
Let the women handle the water buckets. Every man stay with his gun.
Preacher knew from experience that a rush would follow the fire arrows. The Utes, among other tribes, had quickly learned that movers would drop their guns and grab up buckets of water in an attempt to save their possessions.
Get water on that wagon!
The women began tossing buckets of water on the canvas of a wagon. The other fire arrows fell to the ground and burned out harmlessly. They came. some of them mounted, others running on foot, waving war axes and holding decorated lances.
Fire, goddammit! Don't let him get inside the circle!
A warrior jumped his horse inside the circle, leaped off, and landed right on top of the preacher. The brave lofted his war axe and scrambled for it. Preacher and the youth rolled around on the ground until Preacher smashed the buck's head with the butt of an empty pistol. Preacher leaped to his feet, grabbing for his last two charged pistols. More canvas had been set ablaze, and the wind had picked up, fanning the leaping flames that highlighted a frantic life and death struggle amid the circle of wagons on the plains. A woman was smashing a brave's bloody head in with what remained of a wooden bucket. Several movies were locked in hand-to-hand combat with Ute warriors. Preacher spun around to see a brave was running toward Weller, his axe raised to crush Weller's head. Preacher shot him, and the brave stopped in his tracks and stumbled forward, landing on his face. Weller looked at Preacher and nodded his thanks.
Reload! Right now, before you do anything else.
Preacher left his post and walked toward the area where the kids and a few women were located in the center of the circle.